Well, this afternoon, Indigenous leaders gathered in Uluru will present a way forward for Indigenous recognition in our Constitution. Last night, the Indigenous National Convention in Central Australia hit a hurdle when a group of at least seven delegates walked out of the talks, rejecting any form of constitutional recognition. However, hundreds of delegates worked through the night to reach an agreement on proposed changes to the Constitution.
It has unified to say we have got a set of priorities that we'd like to really thrash out and find a good path forward with, and let's not get caught up with making rash decisions on the spot. Yeah, it could be once in a lifetime, as people talk about. I mean, I know that the Constitution has been, Constitution recognition has been the main draw card, or has created the conversations that's been happening around the nation. But we've seen that out of those conversations, other things have come out as well. And I think that when we start looking at it, we realise that achieving one, you probably need to have, a few other things that happen at the same time to make this substantial for the future.
Justin Muhammad there, the Chief Executive of Reconciliation Australia, speaking on AM a short time ago. Well, Nigel Scullion is the Federal Minister for Indigenous Affairs. He joins us this morning in our Parliament House studios in Canberra. Nigel Scullion, welcome to breakfast.
Yeah, good morning, Hamish.
The convention in Uluru wraps up on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the 1967 referendum on Indigenous rights. It's one of the most significant national Indigenous gatherings in a decade. How crucial is this moment for the future of Indigenous Australia, and in particular, policy?
Well, can I first of all say they worked late into the night. In fact, they worked into National Sorry Day. So this is an opportunity for today for all Australians to remember the great contribution that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders have made to our nation, and the great hurt that previous governments have foisted on Aboriginal people. And if we can only just imagine ourselves having the children that we have when they were very young actually physically taken away from us, it's a day to reflect, to ensure that those sort of things don't ever happen again. But look, Uluru has been very important. The fact that they only had seven people walk out, I don't think any demographic of Australia could demonstrate such unity. I congratulate them for the fantastic work that they are doing. I think these are complex matters. There are few opportunities for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders at that level to bring up some of their passion and their vision. And so this is obviously not only going to be about constitutional change in terms of recognition, but there are a number of other matters that have been brought to bear. What's really important, of course, in a democracy is that we have something that the Australian people will feel is substantive, supported by Aboriginal people, but they believe that they will support in a change to our constitution.
Sure. I understand you're saying, the numbers of people that walked out, it's pretty small. You're correct. Of 250 people, it was something like seven that walked out. But clearly some divisions there. Given the emphasis that everybody has put on the need for consensus around this, that must be concerning.
Well, no, it's not concerning at all. As I said, you're not going to get the whole population agree to one thing or another. We very rarely do. But to only get seven out of 250, I'm not sure. There have been various reports early this morning. I'm not sure of the exact reasons why they were walking out. I think I heard some reports that it was about process. It was about the fact that not all of the submissions that were being put forward were being put to the convention, for example. So that's a process matter. And what we need to do is that we need to ensure Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders that every conversation that they're having needs to be had properly. The matter of treaty has always been brought up, and we're looking very carefully at the negotiations in some of the jurisdictions, particularly in South Australia, and I understand Victoria. But the South Australian treaty process, we're watching very closely. It's very easy to have a treaty at a local government level, a bit harder at a state level, very, very complex to have one with a nation. But we should be prepared to listen to a variety of these arguments.
So our minds as a nation should be open to the possibility of a treaty?
Well, I think that the term treaty or an agreement-making process, there are plenty of agreement-making processes. I mean, the fundamental of native title is an ILUA. So we already have a number of agreement-making processes.
I just want to draw you back treaty, though, to that specifically, though, please.
Well, what does a treaty mean? I mean, that's the thing. It means something to some people. It's just a document. It's a a whole range of everything within the spectrum. A treaty can mean what a whole range of things.
Okay, but I think it's fair to say the Australian public has a fair idea of what a treaty might mean. This is not a new concept. I'm asking you this morning, should our minds as a community, whoever we are, wherever we sit politically on the spectrum, should our minds be open to the possibility of a treaty?
Well, I don't think our minds should be closed to anything, but I think everything's about timing. And a notion of something as vague as a treaty without any specificity. I mean, most people would say, well, what does that mean? As I do. But what we're hoping will come out of Uluru is some will be some specific recommendations about amendments to our constitution. They will come back then to the Recognition Council, who have been tasked with bringing both the consultations from mainstream Australia, consultations from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people together in some recommendations for a change to our constitution that will be put to Parliament as a group that was formed by both Bill Shorten, Malcolm Turnbull and other leaders across the political spectrum.
Sure, but I will note, as will I think everyone listening, that you're not ruling out that possibility of a more focused conversation about the possibility of a treaty.
Well, it's not what we think or I think. It's what Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have to say.
Well, you are the minister. It is relevant what you think.
Well, actually, this is a matter for Australia. And as I've said, I don't think anything's off the table. And we wouldn't dictate to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on any day that they should only think about these things. That's the past.
Sure, but this is a process that's going to lead to a referendum, right?
That's right.
A question will be put and it will be determined by the Parliament whether that question is put. So you, as the Indigenous Affairs Minister, do count in this. And I'm just trying to get some clarity from you about whether or not a more focused conversation on the possibility of a treaty is a realistic thing. And it's very hard to understand what you're saying because you seem confused about what a treaty even is.
Well, no, I'm not confused about anything. I'm just simply saying that your word, a treaty, has a huge spectrum of interpretation.
It's not my word. It's the word that we're hearing out of all the reporting from this meeting in Uluru.
Well, let's actually hear what the recommendations are. That's really important that we listen clearly to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, what they're actually putting forward, and which we have yet to see. Whatever the proposal is, it will be put. We will test that proposal with the Australian people. That would be my proposal, to ensure that we're not putting something forward that is going to fail, because I don't think that's something that we should contemplate. And that's a failed attempt at constitutional recognition. I think it would put the relationship back and a long way, and I don't think that's something we can contemplate. So we would test with the Australian people what the Recognition Council put to Parliament.
Sure. What's your view of some form of permanent representation in the Parliament for the Indigenous community, whether it's a separate body, whether it's reserved seats in the Parliament? Do you think that kind of thing is functional, possible?
Well, we have great representation from Aboriginal people across the spectrum of not only this Parliament, but a number of parliaments.
Do we really?
Around Australia. Well, we do indeed. I'm not sure.
In the Federal Parliament?
My opposite number. Well, we have a bloke called Pat Dodson. He wears a black hat, quite a remarkably a person. You won't miss him. And then we have Linda Burney. We have Ken White. He's actually a minister in the federal government.
Yeah, first ever.
Well, in
over
indeed.
100 years of democracy,
how is that
great representation?
Well, I said, well, they are great representatives. That's my point, is that they are very good representatives. And I was just pointing out that we do have representation in Parliament.
I believe
and
you
we
said have we have great representation in Parliament.
Well, we do.
I'm sure many Australians would feel that actually the numbers speak in fairly stark contrast to that.
Well, if you look at other parliaments, we've had the Northern Territory Parliament. The previous Northern Territory Parliament had nearly half of its representation were Aboriginal people. So we need to look very carefully at whatever the recommendations are going to be, and we will respond to what Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people think. That's what this process is about. It's not for me to say what should and shouldn't be. In this conversation about constitutional recognition, it's all about the democratic process of what Australians will decide.
But it sounds like you're fairly satisfied with the status quo as far as political representation is concerned.
Well, I don't accept that verbally. It's you've got to be a bit more sophisticated if you're going to try to put words in my mouth.
Well, I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying that you shouldn't forget that we have Aboriginal people representatives in Parliament, and they do a very fine job. Now, I don't want to canvass the full spectrum of how you might get more Aboriginal people or an equitable number of Aboriginal people here, but let's hear for what the people in the convention at Uluru, and let's hear from the Recognition Council, because they've been properly constituted to provide their advice to us. I'm very much not about saying, well, this is what the minister thinks and that's what government think. We're working with Aboriginal people now. We're not doing things to them. And so, I appreciate getting verbal about these matters. You need to listen carefully. And I'm saying we are listening to what Aboriginal people think that they should have around Parliament. Now, I know there's been a particular body suggested, and as part of these conversations, no doubt that in the past, whether we've been talking about gender equity or we've been talking about ethnicity, that there have been discussions about quotas. But this is a time where we are going to listen carefully to what Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people put to us, and I'm really looking forward to that report.
All right. Senator Nigel Scullion, we'll leave it there. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming into the studios.
Great to talk to you, Hamish.
Senator Nigel Scullion, Federal Minister for Indigenous Affairs.